Chuck and I didn't talk about what songs he was going to lead this morning, nor did we even talk about his opening comments, which I thought, Chuck, are you going to preach my sermon this morning? But he hit on some things, and I'm so glad he did, and especially on this last song. And I want to start out with a scripture in Psalm 118:24, and it says, "This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." I want you to look at that scripture and look at the words that are used. This is the day that the Lord has made. And what does it not say? This is a rainy day that the Lord has made. This is a sunny day, a cloudy day, a foggy day. Is this a cloudy day? Is it a cold day? Is it a hot day? Is it a humid day? Is it a dry day? He doesn't say that. He said, this is the day that the Lord hath made. Every day the Lord hath made. And he says, let us rejoice and be glad in it. Was that our attitude when we woke up this morning? Is that, did we rejoice and be glad? How did you start your day? Man, I got to get up. I got to take a shower. I got to put some clothes on. I got to go to worship service. I really want to stay in bed. I'm not very alert today. How did we start our day? Did we start our day in a happy way? Did we rejoice that we had another day of life? Did we rejoice that we were able to be able to come here and join with our brothers and sisters in song as we just finished doing? We're going to be able to hear God's word. We're going to be taking the Lord's Supper at the end of the services this morning. To be thankful that our God loved us so much that he gave us Savior, was willing to die for us, that he might redeem us to him. Did you count your blessings? It's always interesting when you ask somebody, are you blessed? Oh yes, I'm blessed. Well, how? And then and you sit there and you watch them start thinking. And then sometimes people, it's difficult for them to even kind of think through the blessings of life. But we can start out that we have a God and Father that loves us. As I mentioned just a second ago, we have a Savior that was willing to leave heaven and come to this earth, put on flesh, to live as a man like we, be tempted in all points like we, but yet without sin. And then what did he do? He was willing to give himself up upon that cross. Sin, he took upon himself for us, sinners. And then God, when Jesus left, he said that, I won't leave you alone. I'll send you a comforter. And so he sent the Holy Spirit that would comfort man and those who wrote the New Testament, giving us comfort and hope in the things which he left and which he taught while he was upon this earth. And this, did you think about how you could help a brother or sister on their spiritual journey? Look, we are, we've talked about this before, we are on a spiritual journey. When Art was here, he talked about this world is not our home. We're just passing through, right? We should be treating this world as we are pilgrims. It is not a permanent dwelling. We all face things in life that are struggles for us, and we always wish that somebody would say, you know, could you give me a helping hand? So think about this. When you get up, everyone, is there a way that I can help a brother or sister in their spiritual journey? It may be going well for you right now, and it may be a struggle for somebody else, but how can you help that brother or sister along the way? Shadna had lost a brother, and it's, you know, to lose somebody in life is a struggle. You know, to pray for her and her family that they get through this period of loss. She lost her mother not too long ago. You know, Harry lost a sister. And all of us have loved somebody that we've loved. And I want you to think about, and we don't talk about it very much, but Welton Cronick. Here's a man that touched a lot of lives. He touched our life, our family's life. And when he passed, there was an empty hole in this congregation. And so there's things that we need to think about that we can do. If somebody's struggling in life, are they down and out? What can we do to lift them up? And one of the things I like, Chuck, is when you said about that he was going to lead us on a journey, right? Through his songs. that he was leading this morning. And that's what this depicts, is that we are on a journey. It's an uphill battle. And we're here to help each other out. So think about those things. And so this one is the body of Christ. Building up the body of Christ. That's what we're here for. We're not here to tear each other down. We're here to help build each other up. We all don't have the same talent. We all lack in certain things. But we all have a meaningful part to the body of Christ. We can all do something to help each other. And I thought about this, and I'm talking to myself when I talk to you this morning, is that there are things that I need to be doing a better job at. And there's things that we talk about. Well, I can't get out and I can't do this. I'm older, or my health is not that good. But you can pick up the phone and call somebody, can't you? We live in a world of technology. We all have, most of us have iPhones. My mother doesn't because she doesn't want to have a phone, a cell phone. But we live our lives texting. Text a brother and a sister. Say, I hope you're doing well today. You know, let me know if I can do something for you. I'm thinking of you. I'm praying for you. So we have texting. We can call somebody. We can shoot somebody an email. We can do a lot of things to build up the body of Christ. One other thing you said, Chuck, was kind of interesting because it hits on this next little statement. Can you recognize an elephant? And I can't really tell. I think it's a cat that's sitting behind, but I can't really tell. But look what it says. Never stop doing little things for others. Because sometimes the little things occupy the biggest part of their heart. It doesn't take a lot. Sometimes we think we have to do these grandiose things for people, but it's not. It's just calling somebody. You're shaking somebody's hand, giving somebody a hug. You know? And that's what it is. And I know if you're like me, that when you do something for somebody else, you get more out of it than they. They may get something out of it, but we should be getting a whole lot more out of it. So do the little things. He's sitting in the rain holding an umbrella for somebody else. We can do those little things and we can make a bigger life, a better life for somebody else. This is what I want to get into and I want to talk about this morning. I want to talk. We'll go back and look at 1 Corinthians 13:13, at the end of that chapter, it says, now abide faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Have you thought about why the greatest is love? And many of you may already know that. Is that faith. We have faith while we're upon this earth. And we have hope while we're on this earth. Well, when Jesus Christ comes and takes us back, those things will be gone. There will no longer be a need for us to have faith, nor to have hope, because our hope, if we lived our lives right, is going to be answered in heaven. That home with God and Jesus and those all who've gone before us. But love is going to be there. Love is never going to fail. 1 John 4:20 says, if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. And a former member here that's now living in California, he kind of espoused the teaching of once saved, always saved. But he said he was studying the scriptures one time and he came across this and it really kind of knocked him for a loop. When it says, if someone says, I love God and I hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And then he got to the scripture that says that there is no place in heaven for liars. And it really hit him that all of a sudden it was like, wait a minute. This says he's a liar, and if heaven has no place for liars, somebody can lose their salvation. And I want us to think about these things. This, you know, we sit in this audience sometimes, and I often think when somebody says, oh, I think I mentioned this last time I may have spoke, but I don't want to talk to them. If they don't say anything, I'm fine with that. But let me ask you a question. Is that going to be your attitude when you get to heaven? Because I don't think you're going to get there if that's your attitude. Because there's no way that we can be in a place that's filled with love with Jesus Christ, God the Father, and then sit there and tell God what we don't want to be with somebody. So faith, hope, and love. Paul writing to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 1, 2 through 5, he says, "We give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of love, and your work of faith, labor of love, patience of hope, and our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God our Father, knowing, beloved, your election by God." Now, we talked about 1 Corinthians 13, 13, where faith and hope were going to go away. But it's not going away while we're living upon this earth. And Paul says this. He says, look, we remember without ceasing your work of faith. It's something that they were doing then. It's not something that, well, I did it one time and then I just put it on a shelf and I forget about it. He says, we remember without ceasing your work of faith. And so when you look at work of faith, we've talked about it. We know what faith is according to the scriptures. Hebrews 11:1 and verse 6 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And verse 6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That's what faith is. But Paul says that he remembered their work of faith. It's just not a dead faith. Work, the definition means activity involving mental or physical effort done in order to achieve a purpose or result. That's what our work of faith should be doing. It involves our mental and our physical abilities in order to achieve a purpose or a result. What is our work of faith doing? I hope that it helps us to get to heaven. And that's what we need to do. James 2, verses 14 through 18, he says, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith and does not have works? Can faith save him? He's going to answer that question. If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. James goes on and says, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. We talked about this, about helping each other on a journey. We have to do more than just say, oh, be warmed and filled and go in peace. Sometimes we need to help somebody else with the physical necessities of life, but we also need to help them out with the mental encouragement that they may be seeking at that time. So let me ask you, as this young man, and what I'm thinking about is that, what does my faith say about me? What does my faith say about me? Why am I here this morning? Is it because I don't want somebody to call me, we missed you? Do I call come every 3 or 4 weeks so nobody says, we're going to have to withdraw fellowship if you don't begin to show a little more faith in your attendance? But what does my faith say about me? What does your faith say about you? He goes on in the scripture reading in 1 Thessalonians, Paul says, he says, we give thanks. Once again, he gets down, remembering without ceasing your labor of love. So now he moves on through what? A work of faith. Now he's going on to the labor of love. It's not just love, oh, I love you or you love me, but it's a labor of love. And so when we look at that, we need to think about labor. 1 Corinthians 13, Paul writing to them, he says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but I have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. Without love, it means nothing. And though I have the gift of prophecy, he told them, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have the faith so I could remove mountains. I have the faith so I could remove mountains. But have not love, he says, I'm nothing. And this kind of goes back into the looking at a brother or sister that's in need. But he says, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, great sacrifices, great things to do. But if it's not done in love, it means nothing. And so he says, it profits him nothing. So we need to think about those things. Why do we do the things which we do? Is it to give praise to ourselves? Oh, look what I did for John or Mary or whomever. It should be because God gave his only begotten son for us. We ought to be helping others and imitating him. So labor means to work arduously, to toil, to work to the point of exhaustion. I want to ask you a question. When he talks about this, he says, remembering without ceasing your labor of love. I want to ask you a question. You think those Thessalonians worked to the point of exhaustion? It appears so by what Paul said about them. And so what am I doing? Am I working to the point of exhaustion to show love to my brother or sister in Christ? Like I told you before, there's a lot more I got to do myself, and I need to work on it a lot harder. There's a point that says, I mentioned this before, and it's from a song the younger people may know this, but from Mumford and Sons. And part of that song, it says, where you invest your love, you invest your life. And that's what we do. There are certain things in our life, you know, people say, oh, it's a labor of love. You've probably heard that term over and over again, but where they invest their love and their time, that's where everything is. They invest their whole life in it. So what are we investing our life in? John, writing in 1 John 2 chapter 15 and 16, he says, do not love the world. We talked about this before, is because why? It's passing away. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. The world is passing away and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. He who does the will of God abides forever. I want you to look back at verse 16 for a second. It says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, it's all about me. All those things talk about me. And he says, those things are not of the Father, but of the world. We need to be imitators of God and imitators of Christ. And we do those things, we're going to put those things of the world away. So where am I investing my love? Where are you investing your love, your time, and your efforts? Hopefully it's in doing the will of God. And then he goes on to say in this letter to them, remembering without ceasing your patience of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God and Father, knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God. Remembering without ceasing your patience of hope. If we're going to get to heaven, it's going to take a lot of patience. If we have hope, we need to have that. Things don't always go the way that we want them to go. When Art was here, we talked about addictions. People get into addictions because they just can't deal with life, or they're hanging around with the wrong group of people. And then sometimes people worry about so much about this world, they go into a state of depression. Remember when he talked about that? They've got their focus on the wrong things. And if that's us, we have our focus on the wrong things. And then he also talked about anxiety. The scriptures teach us, Jesus said, do not worry. And I think one of the things is we need to make sure that our focus is not upon this earth, but it's looking into heaven. We're pilgrims upon this earth. This is not our home. And so patience. Patience or steadfastness. And so we need to remember what those are. And we'll switch on for it there. So steadfastness or patience. And Hans Strong's lexicon said that the characteristic of a man who is not swerved from his deliberate purpose and his loyalty to faith and piety by even the greatest trials and sufferings. Somebody told me the other day, or last Sunday as a matter of fact, I won't say their name, but they said, I feel weird because I don't feel like I'm suffering. I feel like I need to be suffering. I said, it doesn't happen to everybody. Nobody deals with the same things in life. You know, we deal with what we can. And there may be, if you're not suffering now, you may be tonight or tomorrow or next week. But look what it says. The characteristic of a man, I'll add mine, or woman, who is not swerved from his deliberate purpose and his loyalty to faith and piety by even the greatest trials and sufferings. I think about Paul. If anybody that could ever say, I give up, I would think it would have been him. But he had the steadfastness of hope. He knew where his hope was. He knew where his home was. And we need to imitate him. Paul said that, be ye imitators of me as I what? As I am of Christ. So if he wasn't an imitator of Christ, don't imitate him. But he says, be ye imitators of me as I am of Christ. And so Thessalonians, as he gets towards the back part of this letter, he says, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love as a helmet, the hope of salvation. That's what our hope is. That's what we're striving for. That's what our patience and steadfastness needs to be, is the hope of salvation from this lost and dying world. Romans, he's talking to Paul writing to the Romans in Romans 5, 1 and 2. He says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, faith is the very beginning. That's what helps put one into Christ. And he says, we have peace. There's a peace that goes without understanding for those of us who truly love the Lord. He says, there is a peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into his grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. That's where our rejoicing needs to be. Today is the day that the Lord has made. Right? We shall be glad and rejoice in it. And we rejoice in that hope, the glory of God. No matter whether it's raining outside or sun shining, hot or cold, we need to be rejoicing. And he says in Romans 8, 24 and 25, he says, for we were saved in this hope. But then he goes back to stating the same thing as, but hope that is seen is not hope. We can't see our hope. Mentally, we probably can, but physically, he says, for why does one still hope for what he sees? If I have it, I don't hope for it because I have it. But I don't have it, it's something I want. I need to wait for it. And he says, but if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance, with patience, with steadfastness. That's what we're waiting for. That's what we're traveling down this road of life. Go back to Hebrews 11, 1. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And he gets further into this letter in Hebrews in this chapter as we have it. You think about the number of people that he stated their names, Abraham, you know, Sarah, Noah, Moses. And he just goes through all these various names. They were looking for that home in heaven. And so that's what they were looking for. And that's what we need to be looking for as well. Romans 5:5, he says, and hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given to us. God has poured out his love into our hearts. That's why we have hope. We have hope from him. And then Paul writing to the Philippians. And this is the thing that sometimes when you think about it, Paul said one of them, he said, I count myself for I am the chiefest of all sinners. When you look at what he did, the things that he did before he obeyed the gospel, he said, I am the chiefest of all sinners. But if we think about somebody saying, okay, well, I've done everything I can retire from serving God. I'll just wait till I pass now. But he goes, no, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. But the one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. And I've had this conversation with others, and we can all be guilty of it, is that sometimes we want to live in the past. If Paul lived in the past, he would have never done anything. But he says in this, he says, look, I forget those things which are behind, reaching forward. And he says, I press toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ. There was a goal for him, and that's what he looked for, and that's what he pressed onward to. So we need to be like Paul. We need to be able to say, I press toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ. So we need to look at those things, and that's where we need to focus our mind and our attention, our hearts. So where is my hope? Where is it? I've got to look out here for a second. You can see what that is, right? It's a person looking out a window. This young woman says, where is my hope? And that may be us. We may be sitting and looking out a window or looking off into the distance or sitting by a tree or whatever. Where is my hope? Do you have hope? The only hope that we have in eternal life is following after God and doing those things which he said. So where is my hope? Where is your hope? So we talked about this morning the work of faith. Are we working? Do we have a working faith? Do we say we have love, but we don't do any labor? Are we laboring in love to do those things which are pleasing to God? Does our love show forth? And then patience. Or have we just given up? So we need to have patience. All three of these things, Paul said that he noticed without ceasing, they had these things, a work of faith, a labor of love, and a patience and hope. Scripture, the lesson this morning wasn't a long one, but I want us to think about it. And when I say this, I'm speaking to myself, is to think about the things that we have and what are we doing? What are we doing with them? Go ahead and ask you to take your songbooks out now and turn to number 343, which is the invitation song that Chuck brought forward this morning. Let him have his way with thee. So how are you going to get to heaven? We talked about it in Romans 10:17. It says that, you know, that we need to hear the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and we need to believe the things which we read and which we hear that there are from God. We need to repent from the sins that we've committed, and we need to stop walking this way and make that 180-degree turn and turn away from the world and head towards God. We need to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It's the only name in which we will be saved. There is not going to be any other name under the heaven other than Jesus' name. And then we need to be baptized into Christ. We need to put on Christ. We don't do it as a result of trying to clean our body, but we do it as a good conscience towards God, because that's what he's told us to do. and then it doesn't end there. We've talked about it this morning. Paul said that these Thessalonians were continuing to show those things that we talked about this morning. They had to live faithful and to live faithful unto death. So I'm going to go ahead and sing the invitation song. And if anyone has a need, whether it's to be obedient to God by putting on Christ, you know, let those wishes be known. And those who may be suffering, those who've fallen away, you know, maybe they need to come home. If it's private, go between you and God, or if it's with a brother or sister, and make sure that those things are taken care of with them. But if it's done in a public nature, and the world knows what you've done, then you need to confess those sins and correct yourself in a public manner. So we'll come as we'll go ahead and stand and sing song number 343.